For joining us at tonight's Comic Book Club, here are your hosts, Stephen Mays, Justin Tyler, and Alex Salvin.
Hey, what's up, everybody? I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
I'm Pete.
And that's our Man of the Booth Band! And we have an overpacked show for you guys today. But before we get into that, you guys are not going to believe what happened to Pete.
Oh, man. I was climbing a humongous tree, and then I fell on my head.
Oh, that's so weird.
Yeah.
That's weird. I banged my head on a drawer today.
Oh, weird.
In a drawer?
Yeah, on a drawer. Wow.
Sounds terrible. You're so tiny.
Anyway, and that's all that happened to anybody.
Just normal days. Everyone has a normal day sometimes. I had a surgery, and they took out the part of my brain that likes pee. It was very tiny. No, I had a bump on my head, what's it called? Subsebaceous growth.
I know, it's called, what are you doing here?
Yeah. It's fine, 6 stitches, in and out, drove through a whiteout in Pennsylvania to come here, yeah. Guys.
You sure that was a whiteout?
What?
Cool. Well, I'll try to ignore that, because we have several amazing guests for you guys. Yeah. We're going to wrap them all out. Ladies and gentlemen, John Kirschbaum, Tom Hart, Sarah Glidden, and Brian Ader! Yeah!
Welcome.
Welcome.
So,
it's a hearty stack.
There aren't as many books. They're just a lot fatter.
Yeah, totally. So, I forgot to mention right at the top of the show, we are presenting this week in coordination with your blog, The Daily Crosshatch. Yeah. So, thank you for doing that, Brian. Start off, you've been on the show a couple of times, but
yeah,
do you want to tell us...
Yeah, number 4 for me.
Nice.
They have a mug for me backstage.
Yeah.
No, we're going to mug you backstage.
That's how we're communication right
now. Either way. And you brought all these lovely guests on with you. So do you want to talk a little bit about them, why you thought it would, be good to have them on the show?
All right. You want to start with John?
By the way, you guys cozy?
Yeah.
Maybe a little too cozy.
Cool. We'll get you a smaller couch.
Yeah.
John has a new book coming out on Fantagraphics. It's called Pity and Pussy. It is insane.
Okay.
It's,
Did you say the title once again?
Yeah.
Pity and Pussy?
Pity and Pussy.
Pediant?
Pity?
Pity.
Pity Pussy.
And?
Pity and Pussy.
Pussy,
right.
Yeah.
Look up.
It's a little hard to tell whether you're making a joke or you just can't hear it.
No, I've gone crazy.
John is also an illustrator and is curating a show for the Metropolitan Museum.
No. I did a poster.
You did a poster for it.
It'll be in the lobby in a week or so.
It'll be in the lobby?
Yeah.
Nice.
Oh, cool.
In the family map.
For sale, right? It's not.
No, free.
What?
Yeah.
Oh my god.
It's a map.
Do you want to very quickly talk a little bit about what PD and Pussy is? Besides, obviously,
it's a
penis and his wife.
A couple of animals.
What? She's real.
And, what?
Nothing.
They're just a couple of. It's a dog and a cat with human heads. And, they're kind of nasty, I guess.
And drunk.
Drunk and nasty?
Yeah.
It's sweet.
Well, it's been referred to as very
brutal.
Looney Tunes-esque, right?
Yeah.
I mean, is that something you're going for?
Looney Tunes and Louis Buñuel, I guess? But I don't know who that is. I don't know who that is.
Come on.
Yeah. He was a surrealist filmmaker.
Ah. I guess that makes sense.
No, you're back.
Yeah.
I think it's more like Looney Tunes and Charles
I don't know that.
Ooh, oh, stop.
He did the voice of Daffy Duck. Tom Hart does it's a daily strip, right?
Which one?
Hutch Owen.
Yes and no.
For 5 days a week.
Well, I kind of stopped.
Oh.
But recently enough.
He
so that
told
we could still be talking
show.
About
it's
it. You didn't
awful.
Ask. What are you doing these days, Tom? Or what's going on?
We're
going
to have to ask you to leave.
Me or him?
Both. And me.
He's also, you've also been teaching at SVA for, what, six years now?
Seven-ish. Something like that. Yeah. Weirdly, my first week was, like, the week before 9/11, like, 6 days. And
Bring the room down, Tom.
We always do this first 5 minutes of the show.
Yeah, I mean, bring up 9/11. No, but...
Boothman.
But what I'm doing is this Ali's house thing. You know that.
We don't know.
You want to bring that up. What?
Why don't you tell...
So I haven't been doing Hachoman as much, or at all, lately. And instead, I've been collaborating with Margot Dubai, who is this cartoonist who's Palestinian. And we've been sort of developing, not sort of, we've been developing a comic strip about an Arab-American family that's going to be actually syndicated by King Features
in the
spring. It's going to be kind of cool. It's very mainstream. It's like really family-friendly, but it's been fun. So that's what we've been doing.
Yeah, and you recently curated a show, or you had your arts at the 92.
Oh, yeah, there's an
Rebecca
art, Lauren Weinstein, and Matthew Thurber, who got some art up there, which is a place nobody knows about. It's an offshoot of the 92nd Street Y, but it's down in Tribeca, and it's impossible to get to. And if you Google map it, you like are looking at a photo of the tunnel, like the Holland Tunnel. It's strange. But anyway, yeah, so there's some good artwork up there. And Lauren Weinstein, my drawings are great, thank you. Lauren's are even greater. They're gigantic and beautiful and crazy. So you should go for Lauren.
We had Ed Brubaker on the show last week, and he found out you were on our show this week, and said that you were his roommate.
Ed didn't call me. He never calls me when he's in New York. Or every once in a while I get a rumor like, I'm here for the Bat Conference, if you want to have a drink with me, you can come have a drink with me.
Did you not do your part of the chore wheel once or something?
No, I was the good roommate. No, Ed was the bad roommate. The chore wheel.
He said to ask you about a Beanie Bear. He had some kind of dark story about a Beanie Bear.
For some reason, Ed thought I was a naked bike riding hippie. Like, he basically thought my entire life was getting as naked as possible and free love and all sorts of things.
There must be some truth to that, though. I mean, you don't just look at something.
I mean, I like to get naked, but... anyway, so, yeah, this is weird. I don't even know. I had a girlfriend. When I moved to Seattle, I had a girlfriend who didn't talk very much. She was very quiet. And eventually, and I hope I'm not maligning her by saying this, but eventually she sort of found her voice when she bought this Beanie Bear. And like she was able to communicate a little better.
It's like the monkey's paw.
No, it wasn't well.
It's creepier than the monkey's paw.
What was this girl's name?
No. Oh, you want to meet her?
No,
this
first and last name.
No, I'm not. No, I'm not saying that. Anyway, she was very protective of this Beanie Baby. Beanie Bear, not Beanie Baby. Beanie Bear. I don't even know if they're the same thing. And then we were breaking up, and we were having this horrible breakup, and she was dating this other guy, and I just wanted to,
kill her.
No, I just wanted to, talk to her. It's like, come on, we're not really breaking up, are we?
I thought it was going to end in her murder.
No, but...
What a charming story.
You didn't hurt the bear, did you?
I lost the bear.
Oh!
I had the bear on the top of a car, and
accidentally.
This is like the little egg that they give you in home ed.
Exactly like that. But
put the car seat on the roof and drove off.
Yeah. And so it broke her heart. And already she was already breaking up with me. I did anything I could to be get more contact with her, just have a little bit of contact with her. So I spent days flyering every part of Seattle I could. Like, have you seen this Beanie Bear? And the flyers everywhere. And finally, she worked at a toy store. Eventually, I don't know if it was my convincing or not, but eventually she bought another one.
Oh.
But that's not the end of the story. The end of the story is that months and months later, I think 6 or 8 months later, somebody called the number on the flyer because they found Beanie Bear. And they're like, oh yeah, we found this a while ago. We just saw this flyer. And I almost said her name. This girl was overjoyed. She's like, oh my God. But then suddenly, me and my ex-girlfriend each have a Beanie Bear. Because there's two Beanie Bears. So anyway, I had to take one. It basically felt like some sort of weird like separation of children, and so I had to carry this beanie bear all the way, all around all the time.
You didn't have to.
Well, I didn't.
That didn't occur to you until right now.
Maybe Ed Brubaker's Beanie Bear story was he carried around a Beanie Bear.
Yeah,
that basically would be his. Okay. And yeah, I'm sure that was his story.
I carried it around
all the time, and I was brokenhearted, man. That was like the closest I could get to that girl was like moving this little bear's limbs around and stuff. Like, I would have rather been, like, you know,
Jesus,
in her arms. What? So, yeah, I had this beanie bear, and it made me cry. And now Ed is doing Daredevil and Captain America, and I'm a big loser. So I'm sure he's up there. He's maybe even in this audience just
What a great story.
Yeah. You should work on the ending of that story.
What happened to the bear?
I still have my bear, and I think she still has her bear.
What's his name?
The beanie bear's name is Beanie Bear.
Wow. Sarah, what's up with you?
So go to alishouse.com and look into
it. Seriously.
Oh, should I introduce you?
Yeah, you did it for everybody else.
That's a good point. Good point.
Sarah Glidden. that's all I got. How to Understand Israel in 60 Days or Less. There are two minis right now, I think, that you can get, but it will be collected as a book for Vertigo in...
probably 2010. But there's nothing set in stone yet as far as dates are concerned. But yeah, I self-published two chapters of the book in mini comics, and then Vertigo saw them and decided they wanted to publish the whole book, so it's going to be 8 chapters, about 200 pages, and I'm in the middle of working on it, so it's going to take another year.
Tell them what's the backstory behind the book.
Well, I thought the title explained. I went on a Birthright Israel trip, which is, if you don't know, it's a free trip offered to anyone who's even remotely Jewish, between the ages of 18 and 27. And they send you to Israel for 10 days, all expenses paid, and
they want you to procreate, right?
They do.
Stay and procreate? And
I think it works for some people. I think they just want to make more Jews. But I had grown up with some kind of ambivalence towards Israel, but I was curious about it, so I thought it would be a good opportunity to go and make a book about, you know, the journey. I did. Yeah.
And when's that coming out from Vertigo?
Like I said, probably 2010. But
are you
want me to say anything like that.
Are you taking the mini comics like out of circulation? Can we still get them?
I'm allowed to sell all the mini comics that I have left printed. Oh. So after that.
Do you know how many you have in each stack?
Probably like 100 of each left. Yeah.
Limited editions, I guess. Cool. Number we're going to move on with our first section, which we like to call the stack. Yeah! First thing we're going to talk about today, we're going to have a couple more indie type books than usual.
Well, you should also say that Brian curated this.
Yes,
sort of.
Half curated.
Yeah, he managed to shove some in there.
Yeah, we managed to.
It's a Pete and Brian joint.
First thing we're going to talk about is Reich. We looked up the pronunciation of it earlier. This is about Wilhelm Reich, who is a contemporary of Freud's, and it's a biography. He was a contemporary of Freud's, and now he's doing graphic novels.
He likes a roller coaster. You never know where you're going to end up.
What do you think about this book?
I think it's fantastic. I'm surprised that there aren't more people doing this sort of historical biography, and he's got... Elijah actually puts footnotes in the beginning of each of them, which is something I think Chester Brown did. But he obviously did his homework.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is very... You learn a lot about this guy.
Yeah.
His big thing, if you don't know, which I had no idea, I've never even heard of this guy.
But now you're into it, right?
He's into, like, orgasms. Even Freud, by the end, Freud was like, all right, enough talking about orgasms. By the end of, like, in the fourth book, Freud's like, lay off, dude. And this guy's like, no more.
What I really enjoy is like you're reading it and like this is crazy, but then you can go back to the first page and be like, no, it's actually true.
It's real.
And then it kind of breaks down the actual events, and then you know like The guy gets around. He likes to have sex. Doesn't care who it's with or
it,
what.
He was studying.
Yeah, that's what he's like.
It's a
he's
great
like, listen,
line.
Ladies. I do a class.
I study orgasms.
I mean, he also did it. He also like had them in this big box, right? I mean, he climbed into the big box and had the orgasms too, right? The orgone box.
Right.
I haven't read
that
comic.
Yeah, we got there.
We're not there.
Oh, my God.
The box. The orgone box.
And the art is really fantastic. It's sort of it looks like Picasso almost. It's sort of like a cubist.
It's great. The whole thing is presented very simply and very matter-of-factly, which I think is the coolest part about it. This is a terrible comment, but it doesn't feel like you're learning while you're doing it. It's just it's very breezy throughout, which is really nice.
I'm holding it to the audience. It's feeling
like yeah, thank you. This is why we have so many guests, is so we can hold up more stuff. I was actually a little disappointed in the most recent issue, though. I felt like it was a little more rushed and a little sketchier.
Well, though, I feel like his life kind of calmed down.
It'd be four.
Five. His life calms down in this.
So this is a rushed one.
But here's the thing, is you start to get into kind of the pun of the title, because it's coinciding with the rise of the Third Reich. So,
how much of this takes place in America? Because he ended his days in Vermont, I think.
Well,
spoilers!
It's spoilers. We haven't gotten there. He's in Germany right now.
I mean, it's coinciding with that, and it's starting to feel a little rushed and a little distracted. That was my only
like
thought.
Most orgasms. Still works.
How long is this going to be?
Unlimited.
Until we're
eventually
going to
see rank 300.
Yeah, over and over. It's
going to
be 300.
Yeah, it's great crossover.
But I do think it's important the
crisis on infinite ranks.
Yeah.
Because the you know the story is pretty crazy. The fact that it's kind of like a simple text and simple art, I think, really speaks volumes for it. Because it's like, if it was really graphic and the stuff that it's covering, it might be a little bit more gross, a little bit more off-putting. But because
this is interesting, actually, because I feel like you recoil a lot from whenever there's sexual stuff or nudity in comic books or anything like that. There's clearly a lot of sex and nudity in this, but you didn't have a problem with it?
Well, I didn't say
that. It's very stylized.
Yeah, I didn't. I wasn't as normal. Like, oh, this is kind of like.
I would say there's a lot of sex.
Yeah. Like, almost too much.
Yeah.
You just kept reading the same panels over and over again.
Yeah, I tore those out.
It opens up to one page.
Yeah, I made a little flipbook. A little sexy flipbook.
Yeah. Also, I didn't read these. I just watched porn.
Yeah. same stuff.
Same thing?
Yeah.
Okay. It reads almost to me, and maybe it's just because it's a mini format, but it reads almost like somebody's, you know, diary strip almost. Yeah. It's just sort of a regular, like you said, just a matter-of-fact story of this guy who happens to be this, a historical figure.
Is it too matter-of-fact? I mean, is there subtext?
Isn't a lot of subtext.
It's very documentary.
Yeah.
Which is nice.
That's what he's trying to do, is he's trying to present it as unbiased as possible, which is weird, because then if you read the footnotes, he's like, I took all these characters and put them together and I'm supposing a bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
So it's presented in a very documentary manner, but he is making up a lot of things. So it's trying to be as close as possible. But
he makes up women for him to have sex with.
Right.
Yeah, because he usually just did it in a box, right? But now all
you keep saying that. I don't know what that means. How big is this box?
Yeah.
It's person size.
Okay.
The first several issues are very much just sort of him as a normal, regular, kind of a family man. You know, he's got a wife and
virgin?
A daughter.
Who ruins that?
Yeah. But you can slowly see him sort of slipping into being consumed by his work.
Yeah.
Am I embarrassing myself by saying my introduction to Wilhelm Reich was a Kate Bush song?
My introduction is in your hands right now, so don't feel too bad.
We'll pick this up, right?
Yeah, it's cool.
You would say,
if you're interested, check it out.
If you don't do a comic book show, maybe you wouldn't.
Yeah,
it's a SparkPub book. They put out just pretty consistently fantastic stuff.
Yeah, SparkPub is a really good imprint.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
And they like kind of swept the Ignatz at SPX this year.
Yeah.
They got like 7 over Ignatz or something?
Cool.
7 or 8?
Is he
more Ignatz than any of the other?
Not to always
yeah, I have
back
a lot of Ignatz in my apartment right now.
What? He's got a couple of better employees now, right? Austin English and Shannon
employees might be stretching.
Slaves.
What are you talking about?
I don't know.
All right, we're going to move on. Guys, this is for you guys.
Oh. Yeah!
About Wolverine number 6.
A lot of similarities in the last books we just stuff.
Yeah, this is also a biography, but of a bad mom. Wolverine.
Yeah. Very black boy, very silly.
It's
a glow stick.
Wolverine studying orgasms with his claws in people's faces.
What'd you guys think about this issue?
The Old Man Logan is a fantastic arc. Very creative, very fun. I can't get enough of it. I enjoy every single issue.
Nothing happens in this issue.
Oh, that is ridiculous!
It's a really boring issue. This whole series so far, this whole arc has been about Mark Miller just making references. And he's like, look, Spider-Man drove that car. Huh? Is it funny? He drove that car?
It is funny.
Is it really that? A lot of that stuff?
It's all. That's all. And the art's very nice.
Don't listen to this guy. That's
but it's nothing, literally nothing happens. The last issue was, Wolverine was like, oh, I'm going to pop my claws maybe. In this whole issue, nothing happens. And he's like, all right, now I'm going to tell you
what
why
are you
I
talking
don't.
About?
Let me finish. I'm going to tell you. I'm going to tell you why I don't pop my claws. And then that's like to be continued. Like, that's the story.
Okay, Mr. Nothing Happens. First of all, Hawkeye's in trouble. He saves him from... Sorry, I'm spitting. He drives Spider-Man buggy through a building, saves him. They kill all these like horrible gremlin creatures. Barely make it out alive, and then they're hanging out at a bar.
Yeah, I can't believe they weren't killed in this.
John, you were saying this is your first experience ever reading a Wolverine comic, is that correct?
Yeah, at least in public. I think I've seen them. I've seen the cartoon. He's in a cartoon, I know. And I've seen that quite a few times.
What are you talking about?
Wolverine.
Oh. I just didn't hear.
What did you think about this, having no idea?
Well,
what
I didn't.
About.
I only got about halfway through it. I thought it was a humor book. Well, I just because the map on the front is that just makes me laugh, and yeah. I love that the West Coast there is Hulk Land, like that. Like he's gonna stay on
well,
one
like the
side of the Kingpin's line over there.
Yeah.
It's like a road trip comic.
But it's formerly the Abomination's territory.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing. It's very much...
Whoa, 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 whoa! Whoa, whoa, whoa!
It's mine. It's mine.
Seriously?
Oh, stop! Don't do that. Don't feel bad at all. I saw you do that, and I felt an energy. like you're an electric storm.
I think I heard an angel cry.
Yeah.
Wow, they're weeping in heaven.
Yeah.
Would you say pick this up?
Yes.
You can skip this issue and not miss a single thing.
No, that's not true.
You probably
skip the entire series.
Yeah.
It's 350 in Canada.
Do you feel like the 69th issue should have been a special one?
The 69th.
The old Wolverine Sabretooth issue?
Yeah.
I watched one of those. I watched important. let's move on. Talk about The Lagoon.
Yeah, it's Lily Kray's new book. Yeah. I think this is the second one that she's done for Fantagraphics. She did Woodsman Pete before.
Is that a whole book?
Yeah, this is. I thought it was a fantastic book. It's a story about a little girl and her family, and there's sort of a creature, the Black Lagoon, but it takes it in a really strange direction.
It's essentially all these people reacting to this weird black lagoon creature as it sings and how they react to it and how it affects their lives. I love the art in this. I thought it was very, very cool and very dark and interesting. I was not crazy about the resolution of the book. I'm not going to ruin it if you want to pick it up, but I felt like it just sort of petered off rather than...
Whoa, whoa!
LePage.
That still doesn't work.
The last like 10 pages are a fire slowly going.
Spoiler.
So, yeah. Well, that's really ruined. Fires do that.
It was very in keeping with the pacing of the book. I mean, despite the fact that it is about a creature of the Black Lagoon, it's sort of a very slow, quiet book.
It's like a children's story.
But a messed up, perverted.
Well, with the sex, with the sex.
No boss.
But it had that feel to it for me, where it was like...
I actually read this one, but I'm not sure I understood it, so... maybe what you're saying that just sort of just
that's sort of thing. I just kind of felt like it just was. It was there were a couple of ideas thrown out there, like hey, there's a creature, and hey, people are very enchanted by its song, and then that was it.
Yeah, I mean, she definitely. I think Lily definitely made a point to sort of skip some very
integral plot points. And at one point, there's something really, you know, it's a child with her parents, and something happens with her parents. And then we just sort of flash forward about 6 years from there.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think she really did sort of skip a lot of attention, but I think it was probably on purpose.
I think so. I just don't know if I agree with that.
So she doesn't value tension as a dramatic device somehow? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Out the good parts? Or
yes.
Yes.
Wait for the DVD.
Well, there seemed to be like a lot of symbolism going on in there. And I'm not. Was anybody able to put it all together? Because it just seemed like she was trying. She was making.
Yeah, there was definitely with like the leaves and the flowers and like certain things.
Well, I know it's about sound and music and the tap 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 that's going in the scene. But then there's like an owl that shows up, and it's very deliberate, and the pacing is very. But I couldn't figure out why it was there.
Well, I think the creature is a symbol for a creature from a black lagoon.
Interesting. I didn't get one.
No, I think you're right. I mean, I think it's more about images than anything else, which is why I liked looking at it, but I didn't really enjoy reading it.
Yeah, I liked it. I enjoyed it. You know, wasn't angry that I had spent my time reading it. Happens often, but
yeah.
So you weren't.
So I got. But at the end, I was wondering why. You know, I didn't. Wasn't sure. It sounds mean, but I didn't know what the point was. But I assumed it was my problem and I was missing something.
No.
It seems like.
Well, when you watch the fire go out, you're like, huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like watching the fire go.
Yeah. And we should say it's a very dramatic lead up to the fire. You know, something. You know, it's not just a bonfire that's going out.
Was there something more to the cats? There's like cats going, and they're wet cats. And
maybe she was just looking outside of her window,
drawing what she saw.
I like owls and I like cats.
Yeah, all right, I don't know. Is it possible?
I don't know.
Well, somebody will eventually explain that to me.
You think so?
I don't know.
I don't think that's going to happen. Would you say pick it up?
The art, for the art, yeah.
I was pretty upset by the ending, so I'm gonna say no.
Like upset,
you didn't want
sad.
The fire to go out.
No, I mean the
caveman.
Poor kids. You know, I don't want to ruin the freaking thing, but I'm gonna. You know, the kid's parents dies, and then she's got to live with grandpa, and then the freaking house burns down, and then everybody's dead. So I was like, boo.
Cool.
Why didn't it happen?
Yeah,
you see the house catch fire, and then it's
a pile of logs.
It's not the house.
But you before that, the house catches
fire. The imagery.
Oh.
All right, we're going to move on to talk about Amazing Spider-Man 577 with art by Paolo Rivera, who we've had on the show before. What did you guys think about this issue?
This issue was fantastic, and the Punisher is in it, and I even liked it. It was my favorite book of the week.
Wow. You didn't think it was a cartoonish depiction of the Punisher? Like he was like balding and
Sarah artsy. Doesn't understand why different characters are together sometimes.
That's what you call
a team
a marketing ploy.
Why don't they just make new characters?
What?
Well, a lot of people like the Punisher, so they can't get rid of him. Someone's got to shoot that guy eventually.
Because people like things that are familiar.
What do you mean make a new book?
Is he a bad
maybe
guy?
Maybe Spider-Man is, you know, just done. Maybe he's just making
money. There's some truth to a word.
I think you should go over to Marvel and be like, you know, guys, I think Spider-Man might just be done.
Yeah,
and
you know.
Then they'll be like, you know what, we're going to stop publishing Spider-Man.
And then there'll be riot in the streets.
Yes. I mean, it's...
Is the Punisher a bad guy?
Yeah.
He's a bad good guy.
Which
is why people like
him. Yeah,
what did you think about this issue?
I like the art. I didn't get a chance to really read it, but I like the art. I'm a big fan of the small-eyed Spider-Man.
Yeah,
who made a resurgence.
The art's fantastic. It's a lot like Archie comics, the way it's done, and it really works with the way they're doing Spider-Man now. It's a really good issue.
You guys
good.
Are killing Pete with full
I'm sorry.
Respect the art.
Respect that art's terrible. That's just not.
Which.
That doesn't bother me yet too much. What are you seeing? I mean, you're a better artist.
What are you seeing?
So you're going to see a lot more than I'm seeing.
No.
Like that arm, I mean, there's like some color.
No, I just...
Tell it. That's it. That's
no, what are you saying? You don't like the art?
Is the stylization of the inking's very stylized?
Maybe.
Or is it the figure drawing itself?
What's up with Punisher's cell phone? He has like a stockbroker machine on...
I do like the small touches, but I like the fact that the Punisher sort of has a really bad male pattern baldness in this.
Yeah.
It's a nice touch.
It's very... I think Paulo Rivera, the thing that's nice that he's doing is he's actually drawing different characters in here. And some of the stuff is exaggerated, but I think it's exaggerated for a very nice effect.
Yeah.
I would say definitely pick this up.
Definitely pick it up.
Cool.
Contrary to the cell phone size.
Cell phone size?
Yeah,
that's what she's saying. Let's move on to talk about the Great Art Outdoor Fight, which is by Chris Odstad, creator of Akewood. What do you guys think about this? I'm a big fan of Akewood.
What?
Yeah, you go first.
Yeah, it's one long continuous story, and it's not broken up in strips. It's a story about a great outdoor fight. It's a bunch of
aptly named.
Yeah, it's you know, basically sort of no holds barred, a bunch of animals, a bunch of people fighting each other to the death.
Yeah, the pitch line is 3 days, 3 acres, 3,000 men, one winner. So pretty hilarious.
I honestly liked the intro best. I liked the text intro best.
Yes,
you know, I thought that's where he sort of hit his stride.
This is not very good.
That's what I was getting at. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not. I love Akewood. I think Akewood is really, really funny.
You can bend out.
Who cares when he does it?
Enjoy Akewood a lot, but I think the pacing is all off here.
Well, Akewood's very much about punchlines.
Yeah.
They're not in this.
Right.
Yeah. Which is weird. I went back to check to see if this was written in long form, but he actually published it as strips, so it doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah. I'm used to the online thing where they have just like, you know, like four or five panels, and it's kind of shorter and punchier, and that's kind of the pacing that I'm used to for his work, and I very much enjoy it. So this, I was a little nervous getting into it to see how much would I be able to follow, would I like it as much, where I kind of feel like I like moments, but then it falls off, and then it kind of builds back up again, and
The difference is usually when you get strips and they are part of a larger story, it's more of an arc, you know. Mm-hmm. It's pieces, they sort of relate to each other, but this is very much him trying to pull together a graphic novel, and I just, it doesn't really work in long form.
Yeah. It's kind of disappointing.
Yeah.
Read it for free online.
But I will say, I don't know if it's on strips. I don't know if it's online, but the intro, I think the intro and the end, he wrote really long backstories, and I think that's the best part of the book.
Oh, totally. Yeah, definitely fleshing it out. And it's a funny idea, but there's unfortunately no reason to buy this book.
Yeah, wow. I would read it online, because it seems to me like he's a pretty good writer, and he knows how to write a gag, and some of it's funny, and I like sort of the personalities of the characters.
Yeah.
I think he's put a lot of work into that. I've not read a lot of it. I when we were coming here, I went online and tried to read as much of this storyline as I could take. And but the thing that really, and I would probably continue to maybe read it online, you know, but I would never buy this book. He doesn't draw. It's like he uses that cookie cutter. You know,
he's not a great artist. I don't think anyone's ever.
The thing. He's not going to get to be a great artist if he doesn't draw them. You know, he's just drawing them once, and then he's using the copy, and he's putting. And then, I can't stand the type. Just hand letter that, and so it's really cold to look at for me. So, you know, I think for the jokes and the gag writing, which I think he really does have some talent there, I probably would check it out online, but. I don't see what the point is.
So you're also saying this is not very good.
Yeah, it's just, I don't get Don't get it. Oh, that drawing.
Mr. Smarty.
Ooh. Ooh, that.
Mr. Smarty Pants, I went to his signing of Rocket Ship, and he had like 200 people out.
It was a line of snaking from a walk. Yeah,
absolutely.
Didn't I read like this?
So,
I think I read somewhere in an article that he makes like a quarter of $1 million, $250,000 a year. Was that this guy?
Probably.
No. Between his book and his...
Akewood does extremely well.
Yeah.
Probably. Yeah,
there was it was, I read it online, and everything you read online.
Are you thinking of Charles Schultz?
No.
Perhaps a lottery.
And he doesn't spend a lot.
I'm going to I'll see if I can find an article. But it was
not much. I know he makes a living at it, but I don't...
It was an interview with him with, like, Publishers Weekly.
That's what most guys are doing, right?
Sure, was it one of the video game guys, like...
I think I read it either like on The Beat or Tom Spurgeon's, you know, one of those websites have.
So give John your email and he'll send you the link after the show.
Yeah, something. I don't know, but I could have sworn. Maybe it wasn't that guy. But.
Yeah. Anyway, don't pick that up. Let's move on. Talk about another thing you should not pick up, which is Batman Cacophony number 1 by Kevin Smith. What'd you guys think about this?
This was terrible. Universally terrible. The art is bad. The story is so off. Like,
yikes.
Kevin Smith, the characters are all wrong. He tries to make jokes. At one point, the Joker's in the woods and dropping his pants.
Oh, that's really
bad. It's terrible. Awesome. That's so bad.
No. Here's the thing. Like, I don't want to get way crazy about characters and continuity or anything like that. Certainly, there's a lot of
a little bit.
I do.
So
but
we can bend this
but
one
I'm
back.
Going to
bend this one back.
No. Yeah. But the Joker, I think in essence, is very asexual. You know, I mean, you sometimes have it with Harley Quinn, but it's not like they're totally doing it all the time. Or
they rarely have orgasms.
Right. Yes. They never get in that box. But the thing is, you don't have the Joker making gay jokes, being like, okay, I don't usually give up my ass, but take my ass.
And that's literally what happens.
So if you're a fan of Kevin Smith, you'll love this book.
Ayn Rand.
Well, that's
this
thing.
Is even bad for him.
Yeah, yeah. I consider myself a fan.
Very bad for who? For Kevin Smith.
Kevin Smith, yeah. You know, I like his movies and stuff like that, but I feel like the character voice for Batman and the Joker are way off. I felt like some of the stuff he was trying to do might have been a good premise or idea, but he ruined it. I felt like Joker, you know, I've seen his look made different ways, but I feel like that's the worst I've ever seen the Joker look.
I can't believe DC let him put Walt Flanagan, which is like his buddy. He always talks about Walt Flanagan's dog in his movies. And he has him dub the art, and it's so bad.
You guys ever do this to Ed Brubaker? Like, oh, I like what he did with Captain America, but this sucked. I mean, did he get this kind of ripping?
Always.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Good.
You hate him, huh?
Wow. Don't bring that up. We're going to move on. Last thing we're going to talk about is Swallow Me Whole. You were saying this is your favorite book of
the
year.
This is one of my three favorite books of the year.
The art is fantastic, and it does a great job of, like, sucking you in and telling the story. You know what I mean? Like, pulling you along and really kind of bringing you into that world.
You liked it?
Yeah, it's
great.
Wow.
The imagery is awesome.
Yeah, it's about two siblings growing up in the South. He doesn't come out and say it, but I think it actually takes place in Missouri. Two severely, schizophrenia comes out a lot. There's a lot of imagined imagery in there. It's hard to tell sort of the real from the fantasy. It's fantastic.
Yeah. It's a great book. It's a very, you have a family tapestry thing going on. There's some really beautiful art. I'm a total sucker for magical realism, which I think this would fall under a little bit.
Yeah.
And it's great. It's a great, great book. I don't want to say too much about it because it's really just about the characters and the interactions even more than the plot, but definitely pick this up. Excellent, excellent.
Can I ask the audience and stuff, do we like the hardcover graphic novels or we rather they go back to paperback? Because it kind of pisses me off. It's
paperback.
Like, it's like, oh, I want to buy a new book. Oh, this one's a hardcover also. It's another $25 instead of like $12 or something.
It is a beautifully packaged book.
It's nice. It would be a nice paperback, too. Yeah. Just, not every book needs to be a hardcover.
It's true. The Strand exists.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it knocks off $6 or whatever. But, all right, I'm sorry. I'll show you.
I hear you. I mean, you don't want to, drop a ridiculous amount of money.
For free, I'm sure. You're like, hey, we do the comic show. So
no, we don't.
Yeah, people just throw money at us.
Oh, yeah.
these guys.
But it is a nice break.
It
is a beautiful book. There's no question.
This cheap bandage I found on the street doesn't buy itself.
And that's it for the staff.
Wow, back into the staff. We're back.
The category in the bottom left here, graphic novels / family drama / schizophrenia / hallucination.
Okay, I didn't read the book. I just
is there a hallucination section of Barnes & Noble I should be looking for?
Yeah, it's right next to
Sunrise.
And that's it for the staff. Yeah. Next time for our next section, which is my favorite section because you guys make it up. It's your audience questions. For that, we're going to bring out Booth Bad.
Booth Bad!
Hey!
How's it going? Calm down. Here's some questions that the audience wrote down.
Scolding
holster that.
It's in a holster. That's
yeah.
What are some good
questions?
Question number one. What are some good alternatives to mainstream comics for casual comic book readers?
Oh. Well, Taylor,
I'd say
question.
Like Superman instead of Action Comics.
Yeah. Real under the radar.
Yeah.
Well, the Swallow Me Whole is a good
one. Yeah.
Yeah. What's something that you've been reading recently or you would say would be considered an indie title that you would recommend?
To a mainstream comic fan.
To a mainstream comic fan.
I just read the Freddy and
Oh, Freddy and Me, yeah.
That was good.
Yeah,
that was very good.
It's Freddy, it's obsession with Freddie Mercury.
Yeah.
Oh, Mike Dawson.
Is it good?
Yeah, it is good.
Oh, it's very good.
And there's a little impression in there that he talks about remembering things and how he goes about it and the difference between what he's really remembering and how it ends up on the page. Or so. It's an interesting little like sub-chapter, a little aside, but really interesting and probably almost worth the price of the book itself. But the whole thing is really good. Yeah, I enjoyed it.
I like Joan Sfar a lot. I don't know how well he would translate. I don't know if people want to read a comic about a talking cat who belongs to a rabbi in Israel, but his books are really great. First, Second, and who else publishes that?
That is
Rabbi's Cat is actually something that I recommended to my parents. My father grew up reading comic books, so I don't really have to get him into that, but my mother, even though she writes children's books, doesn't understand comics at all, which is kind of interesting. But I've recommended Rabbi's Cats to her, and she was very interested.
It's
in
great,
it.
Yeah.
We read it. So I think that's something in terms of a mainstream Jewish audience.
Yeah.
Something.
Very specific.
There are a lot more than many think.
Mainstream or Jewish?
The mainstream Jewish audience. You can just say, this will go to the mainstream Jewish crowd, and it'll go. Yeah. But he also does Vampire Loves, which is this just meandering, weird little comic about a bunch of like monsters wandering around like trying to get girlfriends and boyfriends and stuff, but it's terrific. It sounds stupid, but it's really just Vampire Loves. Isn't that what it's
sounds
called?
Awesome,
right? The first second book, you don't like it?
I'm
trying. Brian doesn't like it.
No, I
like it. I like
Sarah,
it.
Sarah, anything you'd like to recommend?
From mainstream comics.
I think everybody should read Goddess of War.
Goddess of War. Maybe don't start with Goddess of War.
No, don't start with Goddess of War.
I think actually Gabrielle Bell's comics might be a nice introduction for people to kind of more indie comics. She does a lot of journal comics and also this kind of like magical realism, and she came out with a book called Lucky a couple years ago now. And
she's still drawing
quarterly. Mm-hmm. And yeah, she's still doing. So yeah, that's a really good book.
Right. I guess it's sort of an obvious answer, but Dan Clowes really got me into sort of indie stuff. You know, I know, and it's an easy answer because he's since made two films, Ghost World, which did really well, and Art School Confidential, which didn't do so well. But he's such an incredibly diverse artist, and it's a lot easier to get into his stuff than say like Love and Rockets, which there's about 8,000 issues of that. It's a really hard place
to
start.
Dan has a very finite vision every time he picks up a pencil and every time he starts a story. He's like, this is going to be this long, it's going to be about this character, and it's going to have these types of literary devices and this and that. Whereas the Lone Rockets guys are just kind of like, well, this is the next Maggie story, this is the next... And they're great, but they go on forever, and you've got to... It's hard to jump into
it. It's like starting to watch a soap opera or something.
Yeah,
it's hard to really sort of like
that. But they're terrific. But yeah, Dan Clowes is a great place to start, and he's so much smarter than...
And Fantagraphics has put out a lot of really great collections of his stuff. 20th Century 8 Ball is great. And then Pantheon put out Ice Haven.
Which is really great.
You guys got anything very quickly?
Non-mainstream, Marmaduke.
Yeah.
Really ease into that, though. Don't dive in and read a lot.
It's just a ripoff of Harry Hughes.
I like this stuff by Jason. Like the.
It's very good, yeah.
Yeah.
I always recommend Box Office Poison to people.
Oh, yeah. I think Too Cool is my favorite of
Alex
Cool.
Ooh, look at the shorthand he's using over there.
Too Cool.
Next question.
Okay.
Wait, who asked
you?
Raise your hand past that. Pete's going to bring you a gift.
All right. If you could do an indie-style comic of any mainstream superhero comic, what would it be? And what would your indie take be on that?
I think I would just want to... tell him about Hulkland.
Magical Hulkland?
Yeah, Hulk.
Okay.
I always I always like the sort of the takes on the lesser characters. I think those are always really interesting ones because like Spider-Man is, as Sarah pointed out before, has kind of been done to death. I think like the Wonder Twins, I think, would be a good place to start from the Super Friends series. I think, you know, there's a lot of meat there. There's a lot of places
a lot of pathos to get into. Like, what if you can't think of something to become an object?
Yeah, you know, somebody, you turn yourself into a bucket of water. I mean,
what's that feel like?
Right?
Yeah. Wet.
Yeah, really get into it.
Did they ever do like the guy becomes the bucket and the girl becomes the water just so they can like touch each other?
Oh god, they're
so sexual.
Simpler
choices.
Yeah,
but you
I would Marvel is actually doing a thing coming up where they're taking indie creators and having them work on whatever stories they want. We had was it Jacob Chabot on a couple of weeks ago?
You talking about the noir stuff?
No, not the noir stuff. They're actually releasing like Marvel Indie, a collection.
DC had a couple of, they did two Bizarro collections, which were fantastic.
They were
great. It was like a Tony Millionaire Batman story.
Yeah. And that's fun. That's fun when they allow, when they're not like all stuck up about continuity and they can use their characters like, oh no, Batman's kissing Superman. And just, you know, get over it.
I
would say they're always getting upset whenever anybody makes a painting of like Batman making out with Robin. They're like, send out the lawyers.
How often does that happen?
The thing with DC though was that they wouldn't let anybody write and draw the same story. Is Marvel letting like one?
Oh, they had an artist and a writer.
It was always an artist and then a writer, and I think they do that for copyright reasons or some kind of silly
legal reasons,
something like that. But is Marvel going to let people do their own, like, write and draw their own stuff?
Yeah, apparently, as far as we have heard from people, they're giving them pretty much free reign.
Didn't they, did they ever officially release Kolchaka's Hulk story? Have you read that?
No, they didn't.
Yeah, it was in the annual. It's only three pages long, but I think it was in the annual, right? Yeah, I mean, credit where credit is due. The whole inspiration for that came from Tom Devlin, who used to publish Highwater Books, who published a book called Cooper Skeeber. Little tiny thing put out in San Diego Con like 1994 or something.
Tom's at D&Q now, right?
Yeah, he's a designer there, and he just got all the people he could think of to do Marvel stories, and he tried to fly under the radar. But it was the talk of that San Diego convention. Everybody was like, oh my god, did you see this? And Marvel, you know, 15 years later, they're like, hey, maybe we should do that.
Well, they did. They had a failed experiment. I think right when the first Spider-Man movie came out, they let Peter Bagg do like a one-off of Spider-Man.
Was that a failed experiment? Or you're just saying it sold badly? Or
I don't think it sold especially well, and it wasn't really as good as everybody wanted it to be.
Yeah. Well, as long as they keep doing it, I think that's a good thing. Raise your hand if you ask a question. We have time for one more, I think.
Okay. What do you think is the most innovative comic out right now?
Innovative.
Most
innovative.
We're still
answering
the last question.
Okay, sure. Take me
there. Sorry.
Sorry. Sure.
What's the question?
What do you think is the most innovative comic out right now?
Hard to be Chris
Blair. Yeah.
Boy, you're crazy.
I'd have to say Kevin Huizenga's comics are definitely the most innovative.
He's working on like another plane.
Kevin Huizenga does Glenn Ganges, right? Well, I guess Toronto Quarterly, but probably a million other publishers as well. But every book, there's just really strange sort of backstories, or just, like, weird historical stuff in there. And he's one of the few creators who does a character from book to book but has absolutely no devotion to the character. He'll just sort of take
starts from
Glenn
scratch
Ganges,
every time.
Yeah, wherever.
You'll learn something reading one of his books.
Yeah.
You know, they're always smart and in like that kind of scary way where you wonder where the guy gets it from. It's good stuff. I like this guy does, I'm just trying to think of things that really break from the pen. Does anybody know the guy Warren Craghead?
Yeah, sure. I understand Warren's stuff even less than
that. Yeah, no, it's really
making
so
it up.
It's me.
Yeah. He does like almost.
Do you know Josh Rockface?
Yeah.
he does and stuff. It's neat. It's really. I don't know where you can get it. I don't know if he's
online
and stuff. Warren Craghead.
And he has. And he shows in a lot of galleries and stuff. And, you know, there is the word poetry that you can apply to it, but...
Well, I didn't mean in a bad way.
No, but I mean, I find it hard to find any words to describe it because he's just kind of putting things together. Like, different kinds of word and pictures combinations in very sparse ways. Right. Yeah, sometimes, a lot of times. Sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's just pictures and words.
There's a guy named Joe Infernari who had on the show.
He's
an Activate artist.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
And his stuff, he does great stuff. His site. What's his site called? Well, it's his own site. He's doing this long thing. He does like a new page every like 6 months or something. And it's a really cool, really combining pictures and words. And
page every 6 months.
And yeah, it's very collage. At the same time, it's very cartoony and very
and personal.
It's neat. It's very interesting. Yeah. And you were gonna say Allred, right?
Yeah, yeah.
What were we going
to
say?
Mike Allred.
Just what he's doing in Mad Men now.
What's he doing now? I thought he was doing all Mormon stuff or something.
No, he's doing Mad Men stuff, and he's doing some very cool things with the layout. He did an issue recently where it was essentially the entire issue was one long panel, but the action moved throughout. So you'd flip the page, and the next two pages would connect directly to the previous two pages.
It was awesome.
Yeah, it's very awesome. He did an all-silent issue. He did an issue where every single panel was a tribute to a different comic book artist, ranging from cartoonists to classic Ditko, Kirby, etc. So very, very cool stuff that he's doing in every issue right now.
I think Dash Shaw is pretty constantly trying to push sort of the boundaries of what you can do with print and online. And I don't know how easy they are to come by, but he does some really great animations.
Really?
He did one for Bottomless Belly Button and for, I'm blanking on the name of his webcomic.
Body World. You can probably find it on his website. And Body World, he updates every week. Every week. So you can read it all there for free, but it's coming out through Pantheon.
Basically, there's a lot of great stuff out there, guys. Check out. Raise your hand if you asked that question, and I think that's it for your audience questions.
Woo!
And fortunately, we're running a little low on time, so we're going to skip the next section, Booth Man, and go directly to trivia. For that, we're going to turn Heroes is Bad. There's two trailers.
What section did we miss?
Oh, we don't get to watch the Star Trek trailer.
Oh.
Don't tell them what it is. All right, fine. Go one frame back and turn down the lights.
Wait, so
we're going to watch trailer.
Remember which one?
That one. No? Next one.
There we go.
No? Next one.
That's nowhere near as nerdy as any other Star Trek.
What does that do with
I don't know. Yeah. I'm just gonna go see. Are the Trek fans gonna like it?
No.
Yeah,
I hope so. I hope 3/4 of that movie is that little kid being like, "Hey, I'm James Tiberius. Sweep your flu."
You want a lot of pod racing in that movie.
They were very close to pod racing.
Yeah. Awesome. That's great. That's definitely on par for me with the. This is R2-D2. Nobody remembers that? No?
What?
Okay, cool. We're going to move on to the next section, which is trivia. For that, we're going to turn it over to Pete LePay.
This is the part where we get back to you, the lovely audience. Thank you so much for coming. It's an opportunity to win $25 free in the form of a gift certificate to Mintel Comics. Who would like a chance to win $25 free? Simply raise your hand and you will participate in the trivia, which pretty much guarantees you a victory. Who would like $25 free? Simply raise your hand and participate. Have some fun. It'll be a good time.
Really?
All right, Bucky, come on down.
I tried.
What's your name?
You know, Rocky.
Rocky, audience, Rocky. You don't know Rocky. You've never been here before. Here we go. We're going to set this over here. Okay, so how this works is 3 different categories today.
Great.
Yeah, it's all going to be indie fun. Simply listen to the question. I'm sure you'll get it. You know how this works. Okay. What was the name of... this one's going to be on Reich, the one that we first... Okay. What was the name of Reich's outreach program, thank you, Boothman, that educated people about Marxism and sex reform? Is it A, sex program, B, sex poll, or C, class?
Great.
So it's either A, sex program, or B, sex poll.
I'm going with B.
Yeah, sex poll! One for one. All right, here we go. Akewood, this is what it's going to be about, Akewood. The two main characters in Akewood are Ray and, is it either A, Ray and Ray Ray, B, Ray and Roast Beef, or C, Ray and E-Guy? No, it's either Ray Ray or Roast Beef.
I'll go with Roast Beef.
Oh, man,
cheers.
All right, so... the last one's on the lagoon. Okay, here we go. In the lagoon, the book. Yeah. Here we go. Just listen up. I feel like you'll be able to get it. The monster does what to lure people to the lagoon? Is it A, call out their names, B, sing, or C, yell, "Hey, I'm a nice monster. Come over here, you tasty, tasty human."
Wow, I'm gonna have to go with B.
Yeah! Gift card, thank yours. You. Congratulations.
All right, as we all know, tomorrow is New Comic Book Day. We recommend you go to Midtown Comics with a nice enough to sponsor the show. But Pete, what are you looking forward to that's coming out tomorrow?
It's stuff. There's a lot of great stuff, Punisher type stuff happening. But I'm gonna say Goon.
Goon.
Yeah.
The Goon?
No, Goon. Just Goon.
The Goon.
Yeah.
I'm gonna say Fire Breather number 3.
Nice.
I love that series. Cool. Definitely worth a pickup.
Angel After the Fall number 14. I'm a total sucker for Angel. Let's move on. Brian, anything you want to recommend that's coming up that people should check out? This stuff, obviously.
Can you come back to me?
Totally. Sarah, plug something you have coming out.
Coming out this week?
No, in general.
I have nothing coming out. Can I plug other people's stuff?
Sure. Like
Julia Wirtz has a new Fart Party collection coming out sometime in the spring, I believe. Maybe February, but that's worth checking out.
Cool. And where can people check you out online?
Me?
Yeah.
I have a website, www.smallnoises.com.
Cool. Nice. Tom, what about you? What do you have coming up?
The big thing is Ali's House is a comic strip. It's going to be in as many newspapers as we can get it into in the spring. So look for it. Maybe I'll send out some emails and stuff and get people to clamor and send notes to your local editors to get it. All my other stuff, I don't know, maybe Top Shelf still got it in print. Check with them. You can go to tomhart.net to get links to there. Yeah, that's it right now. We're sort of busy getting like the marketing and all the marketing materials and everything for this big project out the door, and then it launches in the spring, so we're really excited about that. But I won't watch the next couple weeks.
Cool. Awesome.
Keep us posted on the bear.
Yes.
I will. The bear is... Yeah, actually, it made me kind of sad about it, because the bear is in a box in the closet, and I realize I haven't really, like...
How far down in the darkness can the story go?
After the show, we're going to be doing an hour talking about the bear.
We missed the watching.
Well, my book, Petey and Pussy, actually ships tomorrow.
So,
yeah. Yeah. So like a hardcover book.
This was your press jump.
And,
I'm sorry.
Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you so much. And that poster that I said I was working on for the Met, that'll be in the family map.
I can't believe
the lobby.
Great, man.
And it's sort of like a Where's Waldo search on steroids. Would that be all right? Is that fair to say? It's a museum squeezed down to a poster. With clues and things you're
it's
supposed
like
to find.
All your favorite paintings.
Yeah. You can find all your favorite paintings.
And really tiny, and the sergeant paintings, and the Egyptian.
Yeah. And you can go to my website is Fontenelle Press for comics. So if you're interested in Petey and Pussy, you can find out more about there, or Fantagraphics.
Awesome.
Cool.
Thanks.
Cool.
And Brian.
Real quick, Fishtown by Kevin Colden, which is finally being collected.
Nice.
IDW. It was one of the Activate comics.
Go ahead.
Okay. And Dan Goldman's new book. It's called 08. It's about the
election.
The election race. It looks. I've seen some proofs of it. It looks fantastic.
Yeah.
Cool.
Somebody wrote a comic about this past campaign.
Yeah, you traveled with the different campaigns.
So anybody who hasn't enough of the
spoiler alert.
You can go back and read some more about the
it's a great looking
I
think about the McCain wins.
Kevin Colden, you reminded me, and Sarah Glidden right here, will all be reading their work at an event I host every Sunday after Thanksgiving at the KGB Bar on 7th Street. 4th Street, 4th Street.
Yeah.
So Kevin's going to be reading his book. You're going to be reading from yours. If you ever want to read the Canadian Pussy,
sure.
Okay, and that's at the KGB Bar the Sunday after Thanksgiving. It's always great.
And Jonathan Ames, too.
And Jonathan Ames and Dean Hasfield reading The Alcoholic and Matthew Thurber. And I probably won't have time for them. That's sad. But I was going to try and stick myself in there, but I don't know.
You can tell that story about the...
it's on there, right?
Yeah.
We'll just, for the time
we'll come there and play it. A couple little things before we go. You can check us out almost every day of the week at youtube.com/comicbookclub, where we have original shows there. Also, next week we are going to have Mark Bernardin, the author of Highwayman and Monster Attack Network, is going to be on the show, so that should be fun. A couple of people we want to thank before we go. We want to thank Brian!